All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are going to start this out as always. We are going to give a shout out to Law Chevrolet and Buick, Boonville, Indiana. Family owned sales and service. Give them a call today. Get a great new Chevy or Buick. Service department, Chad Pryor. He's running for city council in Boonville. If that doesn't say something about the guy, go in there give him your vote of confidence and they can work on your vehicle too. So lots of racers getting great deals at Law Chevy. Anybody listen to this, give them a call. Tell them that Dialed In sent you. We really would appreciate that, and I'm sure they would too, and they're going to take great care of you. So anybody in the market for whether it's a grocery getter or a Duramax dually to get your race car to the racetrack, they're the ones to call.
Here we go, staging them up on the left-hand lane. The Throwdown Motorsports 65 Chevy 2, 626 on the dial, it's Zach Slump. On the right-hand side, the Icon Pistons Diamond Engine and Machine 74 Vega Wagon, 592 on the dial, it's Jake Hodge.
So we're back, episode 32 of Dialed In with Jake and Zach, and we're here on a Spring Fling Wednesday, where I am at least, so you're going to hear a little background noise from time to time, and sometimes we can't just cut that out, so bear with us. But I am sitting here with the most recent Sunday 10K winner, 10K, is that right? Yeah, 10K, yeah. The Super 7 Series. A guy by the name of Zach Schlump, he's got like a Chevy 2, it's red and white, does a little bit of wheelies, goes 620-something. Zach, tell us a little bit about your ride here.
Oh, man, I tell you what, Sebring Performance Carburetor, Throwdown Motorsports Chevy 2, had an awesome day on Sunday. Started out our weekend, just to kind of give everybody the full story of how the whole weekend works out and just how, just how things go. And we all know how hard it is just to get out here and race sometimes. So my idea was Thursday night, I was going to go out and load up the car and make sure everything was good, get the car loaded up and just, well, actually, the car was already in the trailer, but pick up the trailer, make sure everything's okay, and bring it back to the our place in Evansville. That way, after work on Friday, we can leave straight from here. So it turns up from my dad's house, what ends up turning into about an hour to leave from there rather than here. So 7.5 hour drive down to about a 6.5 hour drive. Well, as Jake probably knows, all it did Thursday in this area last week was rain. And it didn't just rain a little bit. It rained a lot. We got about 3 inches that day, and my dad's field is mostly sand, so it's not usually too hard. I mean, it can rain a good bit, and you can still get a truck and trailer around it without getting stuck. Well, I very stupidly tried to go ahead and get out of there anyway. I made it about 25 feet, so that's where it set until Friday. Got off work a little bit early, got out there, and, sunny day Friday, should be able to pull right out of there. Nope, not the case. So, yeah. So anyway, Kristen and I are out there trying to figure out how to get this 48-foot trailer and truck unstuck, which we finally did figure out. So now we're a couple hours behind. So hit some traffic on the way down, of course, north of Nashville. It's the way it works. Oh, one thing I did want to mention. While we were working on getting the truck unstuck, I happened to open the door of the dually and look down and wasn't even trying to look for it, but a four-leaf clover was straight in my line of sight. And so I picked it up and I put it in the truck. And anyway, we get down, finally get to the hotel. It's 1:32 in the morning. Luckily, Super 7s, they don't start time trials till about 10. But still, I'm getting to the point. And then it's pretty much been the case in most of my career where I need 7.5, 8 hours of sleep. Or
That's age, not career, Zach.
Right. Well, and it's been that way for a while for me. If I don't get a decent night's sleep, I don't know. But so Saturday kind of showed that, did my best. I ended up getting beat third round by 4 thou, close race. But I was really disappointed because it's my reaction time lost the race for me, plain and simple. I was 29. My guy was 27. So all I got to do there, that tells you, beat me by 4 thou. Yeah, he's, he dumped or whatever, was probably going to go under if I had been better on the tree. So go back, heck, we're at the hotel by 4:35, go out, get something to eat at the local Mexican place, come back and get a good night's sleep. And, wake up Sunday and head out to the track. They do a run for the money deal, ended up in the run for the money deal. They did it by best. I think it went to closest to dial, then went to the reaction time, ended up going dead on with the two in that. So we're feeling pretty good, even though we didn't win it. So first round, I got Timmy Smith in the S10, and Timmy Smith is good, and he races down there a lot.
That is like the Timmy Smith Nationals that you were attending.
Right, right. So, and we're dialed heads up, 622 on both sides. Well, this time I finally found the tree. I'm 002 first round, getting around Timmy. I can't remember exactly how the finish line worked out, but it was close. So remember the name Timmy Smith, because it's going to play a factor later on. Second round, I got none other than AJ Ash. This time, you know, I just made a mistake at the finish line, plain and simple. So I give the strike back to him by 2/10 thou. Is what it is, 2/10 thou. You know, there's still his first or second round buyback, so $100 lighter, and I'm still in. So turn around third round, had to run a gentleman in a red duster in the 660s. He has a 40 light, and we take fairly easy win. Now, in that round, I got to tell you, I mean, I really thought I've run in so bad after taking the haul all the way down there. I'm pretty sure we're about the farthest hauler down there, you know, from only person there from Indiana at all. I know that for a fact. Really wanted to at least make it past third round, where at least the racetrack had to give me something, because they were starting to pay round money after third round win. So feeling pretty good about that. At least I'm getting something back. So fourth round, and I got to run AJ again. And we're the first two out. So I was going up early, want to make sure I get my lane. And now I got AJ again. Last year, we were at Bowling Green, and I had a race against him. I should have won that. I did about the worst driving job ever. Now I just gave the stripe back to him by 2/10 thou. Ended up this time, had a little advantage on a starting line. We staged at the identical same time, and ended up I get there first by a few thou this time. So now we're down to, ended up working out really well, because it made the race a round shorter. After that round, we were already at 32. So we come up for the round to 32. Or no, after that round, we were down to 16. That's right. So I get back up there, and I got to run Timmy Smith in the S10. Again, this time he's dialed 21. We had slowed up a little bit, you know, racetrack Sunday. They weren't really doing a whole lot to it. Not that it wasn't good. It was good and very raceable. And, you know, the car just slowly started falling off a little bit. And it wasn't just us. We were looking around the field. There were others doing the same. So anyway, knowing that, you know, he's going to be there, and we're set up pretty tight, ended up getting the win against Timmy that round by 1/1 thou. Come up for the round of 8, they put us on a ladder. We get up there, and we're the first car up there, and now they're announcing the ladder. And they say that Zach Schlumpf, they were calling me Zach Schulump. I was Zach Schulump. Zach Schulump had Timmy Smith on the ladder. And Timmy's still in his dragster. So now for the third time, I have to race this gentleman who's known for winning these races very often, has won a ton. And I'm like, man, he's done messing with me. This is going to be it right here. I'm going to give it my best shot. But man, I mean, it's going to take a good round to get around him. He's down 490 something. And getting down there, and I look over, and I think that I've got enough room to take one out. So I take one out going through the beams. I take the stripe by 3/10 thou. So I was wrong, but ended up getting away with it. Man, you know, Timmy, I had to race him 3 times. I'm sure, you know, that will never, ever happen again. And so then the next round, we're down to 4, and I get Alan Wickle, 440 car. So he says, you better take it easy on me. I'm kind of an old guy.
Alan Wickle is like, he's the very first B&M Super Series world champion, just so you know.
Right, no slouch. I knew that for a fact. Of course, he's been doing this forever. I had to race him at the Dream Team race at Memphis last year and ended up getting the win light. This time, he turns it red. So puts me in the final. On the other side, we had Cole Cousins and Dustin Smiley. And Dustin Smiley, first of all, I didn't realize who it was at first, because he's normally got his door card. This time, he's in a dragster. And then he says, yeah, I'm Dustin Smiley. I parked next to you at the door car race last year. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, you're the guy that told me I still have my block heaters plugged in when I was driving away. and so anyway, he up and moved from Iowa down to Valdosta. I guess he was done with all those Midwestern winners. And he's a Southerner now. So
not a bad move.
Right. Yeah, not a bad move. So so Cole takes out Dustin. And so it's 2 Chevy 2s in the final. You know, I didn't have a stellar light when Wickle went red. I was 24, was still set up for kill. Track was given up a little, but we went ahead and dialed her up. I had to run the left lane. Cole had lane choice. They gave it to best reaction time of the previous round on the ladder. So I hadn't been in left lane all weekend. So I just figured, what the heck? I'm just going to pretend that it's the same as everything. And I'm just not even going to think about it. Pretty much had the exact same bulb again. I was 25, so nothing stellar. He's 15, goes 2 above. I end up going dead on with the 3. I win by 4 thou. So man, it was a great time. What a great, just a great event. Also, you know, Jim Howard put on a great race, paid the money that he guaranteed. You know, I said the surface was good. Everything worked great. Montgomery's an awesome facility. So I definitely would recommend anybody, you know, that Super 7 Series is a great deal for $250, get you into five grand or two tens. Not too shabby at all. So that's the kind of races I want to support for sure. Got to thank, of course, I know I already mentioned it, but I'm going to mention it again, Siebert Performance. I was texting him my runs, you know, telling him how good everything was doing. And, you know, he's right there with help whenever I need it. So certainly appreciate that from Luke Siebert. Siebert Performance. You know, this is Bracket Racing Elite. Got to thank Firecracker Performance Transmissions. You know, beat on that transmission all weekend and did a great job. You know, so it was just, you know, my wife, Kristen, you know, out there helping me all the time, just doing everything that I need her to do, just being there for me. Now, this is my first race I've ever won that paid. That was a $10,000 race. Before that, you know, I won $10,000 at a race, but I didn't win the race. I was runner up. You know, I won the door car race, and that was $7,500, and it wasn't in my car. It was in a car that my dad had. So this win just meant a lot to me personally. So very excited. It's been a great start to the 2019 season. Just can't wait to keep this rolling, and hopefully everything goes good. So there's the story. It was we conquered. We took the first win in Alabama. So get a knock a win in that state, you know, off alone the second time going to Montgomery. Love that track for sure. So it was a great time. It was awesome. So now you got to top it and win the 50 grander, Jake.
Yeah, that's funny you said that. I talked to my dad earlier today. My dad took my grandparents to go purchase their new vehicle, and they bought a used Tahoe or something. Nothing Steve Law had, because Steve was going to give him the hookup, but he said, I don't really have that in stock. But my dad said, hey, my grandpa's really not doing very good, and he's up there in age right now, and he's kind of getting confused. And he said that during the drive, he said, your grandpa spoke up and said, Jake's going to win big this weekend. I said, Dad, he's obviously delusional, okay? So we know he's getting confused. I said, you can't take that with a grain of salt. Yeah, you know, that would be nice. I definitely have the car to do it. And the only thing that's let the car down right now is me. I've been between 001 and 009 and 8 hits. I just missed the dial a little bit. I got thrown in with the dragsters, and I couldn't really – I like to drive a little bit, just to know that I'm going to get there and I can cover what I dial, but it's kind of hard going 460 in the lane and he's 9-8. I'm just 004 and can't get there. But that's just 15K on a Wednesday. We're just getting warmed up. Mm-hmm. My Chevelle will be here in a little bit. I drove the Vega today, but the Dukes brothers, man, they take care of me. They're awesome. Lucas Walker's Mustang is just incredible. And that's what I told him earlier. I said, man, I dialed it down because the starting line got shaded. It got cooler. And it went a 54 again. He said, yeah, by the way, my stuff it doesn't move. And he's not joking. I mean, it's printing tickets. And so I have two guns loaded for the rest of the week, and I got three more days to do it. We'll be all right. I think we're feeling pretty good about it. And yeah, I can finally let go. That's usually my problem. And then I have a bonehead move dial on the things. It is what it is. Yeah, here we are.
Well, go, yeah. You know, you're there, and you got the best equipment, you know, as good equipment as anybody there. So time to drive her up and go get the job done, bud. I can't wait to talk about it next week on the podcast. So wish you nothing but the best of luck. We'll be watching on the live feed, actually sitting here recording this on Wednesday, watching the live feed while we're sitting here talking racing, while Jake is there. Just, I don't know. I can't, it's just a perfect way to spend a Wednesday. So one note we wanted to cover, sad note, is that one of our local racetracks, fairly close to, well, I know it's closer to me than Jake, but still, is Exceller Quarter Raceway in Harrisburg closing its doors, canceling their 2019 season was announced. The track is for sale. I believe the mark was around 620,000 clams. We'll take the race, make the racetrack yours, which honestly, and I don't know, have you ever been there, Jake?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you kicked my tail there one night.
Yeah, well, I didn't mean it that way. I couldn't remember.
Yeah, no, go ahead. Yeah, just, you can play it off now that, you know, I caught on to what you're trying. But in all reality, when that first went for sale, like a couple of years ago, maybe a year ago, it was over $1 million asking price. Mm-hmm. And that was not out of reach. And this one here, right, for 600 and whatever thousand. Yep. And if you're going to get into if you want a top notch racetrack, yeah, the location's a little off, but man, you get 100, 120 cars every time you swing the gates open. You got them packed out all the way to the highway.
Yep.
You know, so man, that thing's profitable, and it sucks to see it go up for sale, but man, that place is profitable. And you have to, I don't know why it's not making enough money on paper or however to say, hey, we're going to keep the gates open, but it's making enough money. And it might not be I don't know the situation. I don't know the finance situation, but man, they, every time I'm there, we're racing until 3-4 o'clock in the morning because we got so many freaking cars.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It sucks. Another one in our area is up for sale.
It
sucks.
Right. I would, I hope that it goes in good hands because, as you and I both know, it is a very nice facility. It's got plenty of shutdown, you know, great smooth surface. You know, it, like you said, I mean, the location, I mean, Harrisburg has a decent population of people that would come out and watch racing. So I hope to see it go into good hands. You know, for us right now, as far as the closest track to go to on a regular weekend drive is that one. So, I mean, realistically talking, I don't know how much local racing I'll get to do this year. Probably not a ton, but you know, also it brings up a topic about in this day and age in particular, how many racetracks can survive in a somewhat small area. I-57 isn't too far from Harrisburg. Paducah, you know, is not that far of a drive from Harrisburg either. Both of those have local Saturday night programs, all three tracks running on the same exact night. You know, does make it tough sometimes. So hate to see it for any, like the champions won last year. They got the gold card, like our friend of the podcast, Jimmy Terhune. I know there were others as well that won the other classes that won a gold card. And we're looking forward to having that nice free entry every time they rolled in the gate. And now they don't get to, they don't get to get that, so that sucks for them. So I really hate to see it, and hope that it goes to hopefully it gets snapped up soon. We still have a season and they can still honor gold cards. That would be great, and then maybe make it go into 2020 so they get their year's worth. Wanted to make note of that. You know, it sucks to see another racetrack close its doors, but it's a great place, and anybody out there that has that kind of money to go for it, you could do much worse for sure for the money than Harrisburg, because that track is very well built, very decent, can hold some cars, all asphalt pits. So hopefully it goes to someone good.
Yeah, but that'll turn us into our results portion, where you were down at the Montgomery Motorsports Park Super 7 Series, the Friday 5K. Gary Get Her Done from Gainesville, Georgia, got the win over BT Brandon Taylor. Brandon, when his Butternut Camaro, that thing is nice, really nice. He's a thou under, giving the win to Gary Got Her Done. Saturday 10K, Nick Ross out of Gardendale, Alabama. Nick is, man, he is just on. And anytime he rolls in the gate to Huntsville or Montgomery for any big money race, there it's just you got to count on him being in eight or less. He got the win over Tommy Castaneda. We're gonna go with Castaneda from Gulfport, Mississippi. The Saturday 10K, and Zach, who won Sunday?
Some old boy from Evansville, Indiana. Zach Schlump took the win, seventh out at the stripe over Cole Cousins. You know, and just another note on that, you know, two Chevy 2s, one 630s, one 620s make it to the final. There was a lot of fast stuff there, a lot of fast dragsters. That was a cool way to settle it at the end there. So, yeah, you know, except for, well, Friday is a dragster win, but the two 10K swept by Door Car. So, and then all Door Cars in the final on Sunday. So, shout out to Door Car Nation. We were getting it done. And with that, we'll go to the Texas Triple Tens results. This down at the Motorplex. Get my results pulled up here. Okay. Friday, no box. Winner, Blair McNutt, took the win over Jim Cornette. And in Friday on the box side was somebody named Johnny Bracket Racer Ezel out of Louisiana, took the 10K win over Hunter Patton. That was a good final. Johnny's 14 and dead on with a donut, as as Biondo would say. I love it. And Hunter Patton 12 and 450 with a 6 on a 450.
That's a good old-fashioned clean drag race right there. That's all that is.
Yep. Yep. Saturday, no box. Jake Howard, perhaps you've heard of this guy, doing a good, you know, off foot feeding. I don't know. Took the win over Steve Stockton, who was there for, out of Wisconsin, all the way down in Texas, getting it done and then getting into the final round to Jake Howard. And in Saturday, the box final, Josh Burrow took the 10K win over Donnie Burleson, who went red in the final, 12 red dead on with a 1. So good to see Josh get the win there. He wasn't quite done. Sunday, no box final, was Chad Sandlin, podcast bump over Jake Howard. So Jake Howard makes it into two final rounds back to back. And then on Sunday on the box side, Josh Burrow again getting the win over Don Bulware. So Josh Burrow went dead on with a 9 in the final round to take the 10K win. So back to back, Saturday and Sunday win, Josh Burrow, way to go getting it done. What looked like a great event that Cody Pollage and the guys put on.
Yep. So that'll roll us into Super Pro 5K at Music City at the Hill. Mm-hmm. Catfish racing Jason in the Chevy 2, in the Chevy 2 that he's winning everything with right now, including round two against me. Got the win over Brody Walker. And if Brody Walker felt anything like I did, Jason Lynch was like a rat on a Cheeto, okay? Down at the finish line, he was on me like Blue Bonnet. So he's still in his winning ways there on the mid-south-ish area of big money bracket racing that he just keeps turning on wind lights. US 43 down at Etheridge, Zach. Super Pro 5K winner was Gary Bird in the Camaro over Russell Snyder in his buggy. That's right, like a Brad Plourd buggy, kind of without the blower, the altered. So Gary picking up 5K down in Etheridge.
Yep, and so they also were paying $2,500 to win no box. The winner was Chad Burleson, runner-up Roger Johnson. And in juniors, the winner was Brock Polinski. I took the win over Kaylee White. So good job to those junior dragsters there. And then that is going to roll us into results from the Darlington Loose Rocker event, Bigfoot 40K. Thursday, they kicked that off with a legendary 64 shootout, and the winner of that was none other than the Charlie Lockhart in his S10 out of Kentucky. So he kicked the weekend off, just took care of the tab and then some right out of the gate. Friday, 10K out of New Jersey, Steve Van Cranes. I'm going to go with that. Took the 10K win over Maryland's Tony Matera. And Gage Birch was in the semifinals there on Friday. Saturday, 40K, Mr. Ernie Hume took his second Loose Rocker victory. So he takes the big win and the big check. And that was over Kelly Stevens, who kicked it 5 red in the finals. And then on Sunday, former Fall Footbreak Frenzy 5K winner Jesse Betterton won his second Loose Rocker victory for 10K. So way to go, Jesse, and took the win over many time Loose Rocker winner Richard Alford Jr.
Yeah, and I was there Sunday, and it was a very well-run event. Of course, Loose Rocker always does a great job when they do things like that. They just keep producing. I think they had 188 cars for the 40K, and that's about what they were expecting, I think. Maybe they wanted a little more, but they still put the event on. It worked out great, and I didn't get to see much of the racing action because I was working on my rent-a-ride, so... Yeah, that's another story in itself. I'm tired of working on race cars, to say the least. I've had like 8 hours of sleep in 4 days. But you know what? I could be at work. My dad really wants me at work, but here we are. It's really all that matters. Slick Rick, man, Richard Alford is just good. Anytime he shows up anywhere, he is just really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what to say about Slick Rick other than he's going to go down as one of the best to ever do it off the foot. And Ernie Humes, I mean, that's the same. He's won a whole bunch. And we were down there, parked right at the finish line, Lucas was. And Ernie went down there at like 8 cars or something. And it just got quiet. And you heard, ah! And then you heard, ah! And that was Ernie sending the guy through 43 to put it dead on 2.
All right. So we're going to go into our InMotion Solutions final round to wrap up episode 32 of Dialed In. This was something that came up this week. I don't know what made it so crazy heated, but goodness, there was some feelings and there were some fighting words going on the Facebook world about starting a gambler's race before the end of a huge race. So, you know, situation is, well, we get, I don't know how far down it was when this happened in particular, 16 cars, whatever, eight cars. Okay, so quarterfinals, we're going to kick off a gambler's race. Now, if there's, you know, plenty of time to get it done, no harm, no foul. I understand. Yes, the main race is your priority, you know, and as long as that is made known and it gets done in a timely fashion, and does not like it takes that long to run around when there's only 8 cars, you just throw them in there somewhere. Yes. What's the argument that, okay, well, one of the cars in the gambler's race could, you know, cover the whole lane in fluid, you know, oil, transmission fluid, whatever. So, and then they're going to have a long cleanup. Well, I mean, I guess, and that could happen anyway. I mean, as long as you have plenty of time to get the race in and take care of that, if it does happen, then great. I would highly recommend, I know it's not ever going to stop everything, but you know, if you don't have a diaper on your car, I got one on mine. It wasn't that hard to install and I'm not very good at stuff. So I would recommend getting one. I don't have problems with big money races making them mandatory, but that kind of goes beside the point. You know, if there's enough time to get another race in and you got racers that want to race and you got a racetrack, why not? What do you say, Jake?
Yeah. And it's on the flyer, you know, it was on the flyer advertised gambler's race. And at the same time, we're complaining about all of these promoters that don't stick to the flyer.
Mm-hmm.
And we're sticking to the freaking flyer. I don't. And listen here. I don't care if you won the million 10 freaking times. That doesn't give you any right to treat people like dog crap, all right? I saw enough stuff that got me fired up. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done in your life. And for two, I feel like they'd be more inclined to listen to your opinion if you were spending money at their race, but you're not.
Right.
So going on Facebook and opening your yap about it is not going to do you any good. Shut up. Have some respect. You know, it's embarrassing. And I'm sure... I don't care. And that's fine. I said that right to his face. And I don't, it's all good. But have some freaking respect, man. And to go out on Facebook and call him out and not, I mean, Michael Beard's not going to feed into that. Michael Beard's not an idiot. Michael Beard knows exactly how dumb that individual was looking, and he's not going to feed into it. Right. Guess what? Michael Beard still did what he and Anthony Walton set out to do. They paid ATI Footbreak 40, Bigfoot 40 winner. They paid a Gambler's Race winner. They paid 64 shootout winner. They paid Friday 10K winner and the shootout they had Friday, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care. That's not going to do any good. And whenever you're talking, I wouldn't talk to the devil the way that this individual was talking to multiple people. And I'm sorry, but I have some freaking respect. I mean, right. You don't go out and pretty much tell the people that are televising all these races for us that they're idiots and they don't know what they're talking about, because all they commented and said was, well, this is pretty common. And and the reply was, I've won more races. How many races you ever won? Well, how about this? She produces all the races and she knows what's going down the racetrack. OK, don't. Why go on that Facebook rant?
Right.
I understand that you may not like it. You're not there. You're not spending your money there. You have no skin in the game. I didn't see one guy down at 8 cars say, man, that's some BS. No, it was on the flyer. They knew it.
Right.
So there's my rant. I'm sorry. I'm off my soapbox.
No, yeah, and I agree. I mean, there's a way to respectfully disagree about anything. I mean, that's one of the things that I think is good about just having calm, respectful discourse with one another. I mean, that's why I like having this show. You know, if you want to disagree and you disagree with something that I say, then okay, I mean, we come on here and we can talk about it and we can say points and we can be respectful and I can still, you know, like you as a person and you can still like me as a person. You know, it doesn't have to do with, we don't have to agree on everything that happens at a racetrack or morally or anything like that to be respectful and to be friends. You know, I mean, that's what this is supposed to be all about. So, yeah, I hate to see that. And I noticed that was all, I believe it was all gone off of there. So unfortunately you can't go back and read through some of the things, but it just got out of hand.
160 comments.
Oh, by the way, I made it. One thing I want to mention, I've officially made it. Britt Cummings posted his flyer on my winner's post that got for all the views and likes and comments. So I feel like I've officially made it as a racer now. So thank you, Britt, for doing that. I appreciate it.
Yeah, but yeah, Zach, that's going to wrap up episode 32. I'm going to do a little Calcutta here at the round of 16. So it's been great. Congratulations, man, on your 10K win. I talked to you, Saturday night? And you said, I got the whiskey and the whiskey and the practice tree going. And I said, man, little more practice tree, little less whiskey. And it worked out. So I'm pretty much crew chief of the year, if you think about it. So
yeah. Pretty much.
Congratulations. I know Kristen's happy for you. Congratulations to her, too. And I know you both put work in to make this deal happen, and you have to. You know, just as well as I do, you can't do it on your own. And if you do, you're the most miserable person. Ask me how I know.
Well, I really appreciate it, man. You know, something I've worked hard for a long time. And hopefully this means that there's more on the way. You know, if I could win two that paid 10 or more this year, I would be just over the moon with that kind of success out of the season. So that'd be awesome. Guys, get a hold of me if you want stickers. I got them for $10 a set, ready to ship. I'll ship them out to you quick. Remember, if you got the stickers on your car, you go out there and win. You get to come on here and shoot the breeze with us about it. Plug your sponsors, you know, say thanks to all the people that help you. We really appreciate all the support. Sting is still growing. We're still getting more downloads, more listens every single week. So we appreciate that. Please tell your friends. I had several people in Montgomery come up to me, shake my hand. I had one guy, I can't remember his name, and I'm sorry, he came up and introduced himself. He said, I just want to appreciate you making my ride to work a lot less boring. So and that really made me feel good. I was like, yeah, that's good. I'm glad I add value. This guy has a ride to work and he gets to listen to us to get on here and gas bag about racing. So, but very much appreciate it. And thanks to everybody for the congratulations on the win. You know, it really, really was overwhelming. And it really, really cements how I feel about the racing community, that it's full of great people that want to see other people succeed and do well. And that's why it's such a good space to be. So thank you all. And Jake, get to work. Get up on that wheel. We're going to be watching you on the Motor Mania live feed. Go out there and take care of business and bring us home some a win.
Yeah. Don't break your computer when you're like, what is he doing? if you see me rolling the water box dialed anything other than 54, just go ahead and shut the computer off. Don't watch it because it's going to be ugly. I'll probably be perfect, and my guy will be 10 total, and I can't get there. So,
well, good luck, man.
That's a wrap, episode 32, man. We're going to get back at it here, and got some work to do. So, congratulations once again. Give us a like, share, follow, whatever you want to do, really. We appreciate all of you.